This week, we're starting a series, and we just called it Freedom. But really, freedom is not a series. It's a journey, and it's a journey that God invites us all into. And we want to talk about that today. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I believe the next 4 and 5 weeks at Pathway are going to transform our lives. I believe if you'll take this journey with me, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. Listen, God is moving in our church. God is moving this fall. J-Dub came over, Pastor J-Dub. He said, hey, I think we're going to add a third service. We were packed in the first. We're packed in this one. He said, I think we need another service. Got to get our building built. There's a lot we have to do, but we want to take over the world for Jesus. God is moving Pathway and wants to lean in, okay? Wants to dive into what God is doing. And it's something around freedom is where God wants us to focus for the next few weeks. And so I want us to dive into that together today. So does everybody have your Bible? Four of you, praise the Lord. Everybody has your Bible. You have your notebook. You have your freedom book. You have a pen. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 8 as we begin talking about freedom. John chapter 8. Now, John is the fourth gospel. He writes his gospel later, about 50 years after the crucifixion of Christ. John probably had access to, I'm sure, probably read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. John's gospel is very different than the synoptic gospels. And John actually kind of talks to his audience where the other gospel writers don't. In fact, John tells us why he wrote his gospel. He said, I wrote these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That you might believe, in other words, he's evangelistic in his approach. He said, I wrote so you'd believe in Jesus and that you'd believe that this Jesus was really the Son of God. And so he gives us a prologue that kind of has a lot of allusions back to Genesis in the beginning, right? Was the Word is the way he starts. But it has allusions back to Genesis, but also back to Exodus and about 18 verses of prologue. And then for the next really 11 and a half chapters or so, he is giving us the signs that Jesus, so he gives us really 7 miracles, but to him, they're signs. He's not just wanting you to see that Jesus did a miracle. He's wanting you to see the glory of God, that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he gives us, he loves 7. So there's 7 miracles, 7 I am statements of John. And so he's trying to show us that Jesus was the perfect Son of God. And then in chapter 13, it's about Jesus' exaltation. So it kind of starts with signs, and then exaltation. We're going to be in chapter 8. So in chapter 8 is where we have the woman who was caught in adultery. That, by the way, if you've heard this, it is true. That is not in some of our most early manuscripts. It's a little bit debated on whether that should be in our Bible. Most of your Bibles, if you pay attention, footnotes it that way. I don't have a problem with it because I think it's consistent with who Jesus was, and I think it's consistent with all of the gospel, and that's why it stayed in our Bibles all these years. But it starts with a woman caught in adultery. And then he has this conflict with religious leaders. But in John chapter 8, it's about 6 months before Jesus goes to the cross. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And John is writing to give us the identity and the authority of Jesus, okay? And he wants us to see in the 8th chapter, he's talking about his identity and his authority to bring real freedom, to bring real freedom to those who put faith in him. He wants us to understand that freedom is found in Jesus only. That is only through Christ, only in Christ can you find real freedom. And so we're going to read just a few verses. If you want to stand, we always stand to honor the word of God. So in John chapter 8, verse 31, we're going to start. We're going to read some familiar verses, probably if you've been in church. Verse 31, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, they said, we're the offspring of Abraham. They're good Jews. And we've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say that we will become free? And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. And here's the verse. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Today, I call this message, a life set free. A life set free. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for our church, for these people. Lord, for the presence of God we have encountered already in this room, your presence meeting with us. God, as we open your word, we open our hearts and we ask, speak to our hearts and change our lives forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So let me ask you a question. What's freedom? What is freedom? When I say we're going to talk about freedom today, maybe you got the booklet. Did you think, well, I know what freedom is, and freedom is this, or freedom is that? What is freedom? Because when we talk about freedom, there's a lot of different ideologies, a lot of different contexts for that particular word. For instance, you could be talking about political freedom. And a lot of the Jews were looking to a Messiah to come to give them political freedom, meaning they were under the government of Rome and they wanted to be free from the government of Rome. So that was a political freedom. In our world, we kind of have a secularized freedom. In other words, I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can act however I want, unless I'm a conservative, and then I can't say what I want because it might offend a liberal. But if I'm a liberal, I can say whatever I want because I don't care what conservatives think. Did I say that out loud? Jana's got me on new vitamins. But it's almost like a rebellious freedom, really, when you talk about the secular freedom. It's like, man, I be whoever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. That's really not true. But what I want to talk about, what Jesus talks about, we're going to talk about what Jesus talks about. He's talking about a sacred freedom. He's talking about a sacred freedom. This is spiritual. This is something different than just political freedom. This is something different than just I can do whatever I want to do or whatever. This is a sacred freedom. So today, the way we're going to approach this today, our introduction, if you will, where we're starting our conversation is I'm going to ask and answer four questions. Number one, what is freedom? Who needs freedom? That's the second question. What is freedom? Who needs freedom? What are their obstacles of freedom? And then how can we be free? How can we be free? So we're going to ask and answer those questions. So if you're ready to take notes, get your pen. We're going to go fast. We're going to start with the first question. And the first question is, what is freedom? What is freedom? Well, we said it's not political and it's not secular, but it's sacred. So what is Jesus talking about when we talk about freedom? Well, a lot of times when we talk about freedom in church, a lot of people start where you, I believe, should start. And that is one aspect of freedom where we all start is that freedom is we have been set free from some things in Christ. So Christ has set us free from, you use that preposition, from some things. In other words, because of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, when we put faith in him, we are set free from the power of death that held us. We are set free from the penalty of sin, meaning that because Christ has paid for all of my sin, I'm not going to have to pay for my sin. That's what the cross was about. Thank God for the grace of Jesus. Come on, somebody. So I've been set free from the penalty of sin. I've been set free from the power of sin, meaning now where Paul said sin was at work in my members, now righteousness, the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. And now I have a choice. I can choose by the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers me to choose righteousness. So I've been set free from death. I've been set free from the penalty of sin. I've been set free from the power of sin. But when we talk about that, Jesus talks about those things. Paul teaches about those things, but it's because of where we're trying to get to next. And that's where a lot of us don't cross over the threshold of if we've been set free from some things. Why? Why were we set free from those things? Well, it was because we were really the goal of freedom was to set us free to some realities. So we are set free from, that's true. But the real message of freedom is that we are set free to. In other words, when the Bible says we can be conformed to the image of God, well, I had to be set free from some things so I could be set free to be something or someone, right? And so I define freedom this way, and you can write it down. But freedom is the ability, everybody say fully, the ability to fully live our identity as sons and daughters of God. In other words, God had a blueprint with your name on it in his heart before creation started. If you want to know where you came from, you can't start with your mom and dad. That's not where you came from. You didn't come from your mom and dad. You came from the heart of your father who before the beginning had a blueprint with your name in it in his heart. And he said, I want to create this person. I want this person to be my son. I want this person to be my daughter. And in the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent you here. And he sent you here through biology and all those things, through a biological father and a biological mother. But that's not where you came from. You came from him and he had a blueprint, had your name. And that name and that blueprint, that's who you are. And so when God comes to set us free from sin and death, he comes to set us free to be who he designed us to be. See, sin and death made us less than who God designed us to be. So Jesus came, whom the Son sets free. He came so we could be who God created. So freedom is not just free from, See, you got to get this right. It's not just free from some things, but it's free to be who God created us to be. And the way we approach this is kingdom-centric, not problem-centric. So a lot of people, when they come and they need pastoral care and counseling, we love to help people. We have wonderful pastors. We have wonderful counselors. We thank God for all of that. But when they come, they have a problem, and that's okay. We all have problems. And the problem may be pornography, or the problem may be anxiety, or the problem may be depression. The problem could be anger. The problem could be fear. And what we say is, well, we're not going to focus on pornography, because focusing on pornography doesn't make you free from pornography. Focusing on anxiety just gives you more anxiety. Come on, somebody. So here's the reality. This world, because of the fall, is full. It is a void. It is full of problems. The kingdom is full of solutions. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added. Here's what he's saying in his love and grace. He's not giving us busy work. He's saying there's a way that makes life work out the right way. When you get the right thing first, life starts working right. Because whatever is first exercises a power or dominion over the rest of your life. So if you say, well, financial success is my highest priority, then money's going to control your life. But we don't want money to control your life. How many know it's a good servant? It's a bad master. We want Jesus to control our life. We want the King of Kings to control our life. So if we seek first the kingdom, he has reign over all of our lives. So when we're talking about freedom, we don't focus on the problem. We focus on the solution. And the kingdom has a solution for every problem that this world has ever contained. So freedom's about being free to be who God creates to be. Now, what does that look like? Well, in the Synoptic Gospels, they came to Jesus. You remember this? They said, what is the greatest commandment? They were trying to hem him in because they knew all the commandments of Moses, 613 commandments. They're like, what's the greatest commandment? Remember what Jesus said? He said, this is the greatest commandment right here. He said, and you will love the Lord with all of your heart. This is from the Shema, it's from Deuteronomy. You will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment. But you need to understand something about commandments. Religion will teach you that commandments are prescriptive. But I want you to understand commandments are descriptive. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, in other words, religion will say, here's your prescription. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul. Here's your prescription. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal, right? But the problem is, it's a prescription with no power to do it. But when we see the commandments, they're actually describing a life we live empowered by the presence of God. So Jesus here is not giving us busy work. He's showing us what life looks like when the Holy Spirit is at work in us and empowering our lives. And this is what freedom looks like. When I can truly respond to God with all of my life, I'm free. When I can really love God with all of my heart, with all of my inmost being, when I can truly love God and nothing gets in the way, there's no idol, there's no stronghold, there's no thought process, there's no lie that gets in the way, and I can really love God. A lot of people will come to me and say, Pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've had this story. Pastor, I believe God loves everybody, but I don't believe God loves me. Well, what's going on? There's something in the way. They want to love God with all their heart, but there's something in the way. And they think they're unlovable and God doesn't love them. But freedom is when I can love God with all of my being, when I can love God with all my soul, my emotions, and my will. I can love God with all of my mind, with my thoughts, with my attitudes. When I can love God with all of my strength, with my gifts, my abilities. Like when I can truly respond to God, this is describing a life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm free to be who God created me to be. And then he said, the second is like that. So it goes a little farther. He said, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, when I am truly free, I can respond to God the way he wants me. He created me to respond, but I can respond to others the way God created me to respond, right? That means when they cut me off in traffic, I can bless them in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. How many's not there yet? I'm not either. Right? But that's true freedom. It's true freedom. And it's a process, and it's a journey. It's like layers of an onion, because we're going to talk about some of these obstacles. We have stuff going on inside of us. But here's what I want you to understand today. We cannot be more saved or less saved, but we can be more free or less free. You cannot be more or less saved. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is definite. It is immediate in our spirit, our soul. We've been born again. We've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is done. Now, you may feel more or less saved, but you cannot be more or less saved. But when we're talking about freedom, you can be more free and you can be less free, even as a Christian. Listen, part of my story, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but I had been in ministry my whole life. I grew up in church. I loved Jesus, loved my family, loved God. I mean, I loved everybody, but I was not free. I was not free. I was in bondage. I was dealing with so many things. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And the Lord one day said, I want you to call this pastor. He's a friend of mine. He's now in his 80s. He's just one of those, man, just true saints of the faith. He's been a pastor longer than I've been alive and just knows God. And when he talks, it sounds like God's talking. And I called him. I said, I don't even know why I'm calling you, but I need help. And he said, you know, my afternoon just cleared up. He's about 2.5 hours away. I said, I'll be there in 2.5 hours. And I went immediately, left my office, got in the truck and drove. And on the way, I'm just having a conversation with God. I said, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know why I called him. And the Lord began to show me things. He said, I want you to talk to him about this. And he gave me three things that I'd really never talked to about anything or anybody. And that day I met with him. And I said, I'm going to tell you some things I've never told anybody. The Lord told me to tell them to you. I don't know. But I said, I'm struggling. I didn't even know what to call it, but I was in bondage. And we started talking. The Holy Spirit started working. I left there. I didn't even look like the same person. That was where my journey of freedom starts, and it continues to this day. I'm not done yet. I'm not fully yet who God created me to be, but I'm on my way, and I'm closer today than I was yesterday. Are you with me? You can't be more or less saved, but you can be more or less free. So when we're talking about bondage, the question then is, well, what's this bondage? Like, what is bondage? I want to qualify. You can be in bondage to a lot of things. I mean, like we talked about, you can be in bondage to the power of death. You can be in bondage to the power of sin. I mean, Paul talks about that sin, the power of sin working in his members. He talks about that. You can be in bondage to thought processes. You can be in bondage to lies. There are things that we can be in bondage to. But I want you to understand, and really to understand the distinction, when I say you're in bondage, you can be in bondage to the power of sin. I want to make sure you understand that there's a difference between the power of sin and sins. Sin versus sins are different. One is a condition that the fall left us in that impacted all of our souls, and one are typically noted as behaviors. And the reason I say this, because how many people grew up in a church, like around a church, mama went to church, grandma went to church, you went to Sunday school? Yeah. So when we start talking about freedom, usually I need to start by deprogramming you, because if you're not careful, what you're going to hear me say today is freedom comes when we try harder to do the right things. And that actually takes you more to bondage than to freedom. Some people are in bondage to religion. I would argue that the people listening to Jesus in John chapter 8 were in bondage to religion. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It'd be fun. But I want you to understand this. In fact, you can write this down. Sins are not bondage. Sins are the fruit of bondage. Sins are not bondage. In other words, you may say, well, I'm struggling with pornography. Well, the pornography is not the bondage. There's something else upstream. Well, I'm in bondage to anger. I get these fits of rage. That's not the problem. There's something else upstream. So I don't want you to hear today that freedom is about not doing bad things, because that's not freedom. That may be what freedom looks like. That through the power of the Spirit, we live a more righteous life. And that's the goal of every Christian, I believe. But that's not, I don't want you to hear, today we're going to talk about freedom, so try harder to act free. That is not where freedom comes from. And so we're not focusing on sins, behaviors. We're focusing on conditions. We're focusing on the things in our soul, in our mind, in our hearts that are keeping us from the reality that God has called us to. See, this is what I want you to understand, that bondage is when my life is governed by something or someone other than the Holy Spirit. When you have to check with something else before you follow God, or when something else is dictating the movement and activity of your life, that's what bondage is. See, to be free means that I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the life that God created me for, and nothing gets in the way of that. But if there's something else guiding my life, if there's something else controlling my life, if there's something else governing my life, then that is actually bondage. See, the Holy Spirit gives me the power to govern my life in righteousness. So you need to hear this. God doesn't do it for us. God empowers us to do it. See, too many times in church, we either blame it on the devil or God. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Was that a Bob Dylan song? No, he didn't, Bob. That's not how that happened. No, sometimes we did it, right? But also, God's goal is not to control me. God's the most powerful being in the universe, but he will not control you. But he will give you the Spirit of God, which empowers you to control yourself. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, self. You got it. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Self. So God actually empowers me to be me. The Holy Spirit actually empowers me to be me. So that's what it means to be free, when I can truly be who God created me and redeemed me to be, when I can fully respond to God and fully live out my identity as a son or daughter of God. So here's the next question. The next question then is, who needs freedom? Who needs freedom? I love John chapter 8 because they're wrestling with this. Jesus starts talking about freedom. And all the religious people start kind of pushing back. Look what they say. He's talking about freedom. This is what they said. Listen, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we need to be free? Now, do y'all know your Bible? I know you do. Y'all ever read that thing? The Jews had been enslaved by everybody. Have y'all seen the movie The Prince of Egypt? I mean, it starts with the Egyptians, right? They were enslaved to the Egyptians about the 8th century BC. It's the Assyrians right after the Assyrians. It's the Babylonians right after the Babylonians. It's the Medo-Persians. Then it's Syria. Then I think it's Egypt again. Then we're back to Rome. They'd been enslaved to everybody. But they say, wait a second. No, we're church people. We're Baptist. Don't tell us we're not free. We're Pentecostal. Have you seen us dance during worship? Don't tell us we're not free. We can speak in tongues. That's how free. We got tambourines. We're charismatic. We got a banner and a streamer for every emotion. Boy, he's getting uncomfortable, isn't it? It's like, everybody's like, don't talk about my church. No, we're good church people. We're good church people, Pastor. We don't need freedom. We're good church people. Who needs freedom? Who needs freedom? Everyone needs freedom. Who needs freedom? Everyone around the world, come on. Everyone needs freedom, but here's the truth. Not everyone will admit it. Everyone needs freedom, but not everyone will admit it. Listen, I've been a pastor a few days. I've been in church quite a while. I can tell you this is true. Everyone needs freedom, but not everyone will admit it. Everyone needs freedom. Listen, I have found that the only person Jesus Christ cannot set free is the person who will not admit they need to be set free. But anyone who will admit they need to be set free, Jesus Christ will bring freedom to their life. We all need freedom, but not. Listen, here's why. No one, and I say this a lot, no one escaped the fall. Do you know that? Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God, and it's known as the fall of mankind. It is where mankind became less than human. Human, Adam and Eve, were created to be human. They were actually created. When it says we're created in his image, let me give you a different way to think about that. They were created to image. I'm going to make it a verb. They were created to image God, to be his image, to represent his image. When they fell, human became less than an imager of God. Does that make sense? So why did Jesus Christ come? So we could be conformed to his image. So we could image God again. So we could be imagers of God. And so the fall impacted all of us. And we are less than God designed us to be. So Jesus Christ came so we could there again be who God created us to be. We could be, come on, is it to be human again? To be human again? Did y'all not watch? Y'all are not helping me. That was my big number and you missed it. I told the worship team, if we get a really good auto tune, I'm going to sing. Everyone needs freedom, not everyone. Here's what Paul said. He said, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to how many people? Everyone. It spread to everyone for everyone's sin. And the fall impacted us all. We all have been impacted by sin and by death, and we all need freedom. So what are the obstacles? Here's the next question then. What are the obstacles of freedom? What are the obstacles of freedom? Well, let me give you a few. The first one is this, bad definitions. In other words, a lot of people say, when I stop doing this, I'll be free. Right? When I don't yell at the kids anymore, I'll be free. When I don't look at porn anymore, I'll be free. When I don't feel anxious anymore, I'll be free. But the problem is that's a bad definition. You're defining freedom as the absence of a behavior, and that's not how the Bible defines freedom. Freedom is not about stopping bad things. It's about being who God created you to be. So if I've got the wrong definition, I pursue it the wrong way and I end up in the wrong place. So bad definitions. Here's the next one. We're in bondage to ourselves. I don't know if you've thought about this, but when Adam was, what made Adam Adam was the Spirit of God. God breathed into him the breath, the Spirit of God. And so Adam was governed by the Holy Spirit. But when Adam fell, he lost the Holy Spirit. So who governed Adam? Adam. So how did Adam have to pursue righteousness? He had to depend on Adam, his strength, his ability, his capacity. So how could Adam find freedom? His strength, his ability, his capacity. How did Adam live? His strength, his ability, his capacity. And listen, I would tell you, this is the problem. Adam lost the power to be him and then had to try to be him without the power to be him. So Adam became in bondage to Adam as Adam became his own source to be Adam. And if your name's Bob or Mike or Jim or Sally or Jane, if you're using the power of Bob, Mike, Sally, Jim, or Jane to be Bob, Mike, Sally, Jim, or Jane, you're in bondage to you. You're your own source. Jesus came so we could have the source of God again, the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And so we're actually in bondage to ourselves, right? And then we have soul wounds. In other words, when we go through life, the fall of man, there are things that impact our soul. It could be trauma. It could be abuse. It could be loss. It's just the effect of the fall as it impacts the soul of man. And those things create thought processes and patterns and things that take us into bondage. And they even create things called core lies. In other words, when we believe things about us that aren't even true about us, like, well, God doesn't love me. I'll never be enough. I'm just not good enough. I'm the black sheep. There's something wrong with me. All of these things are core lies. Many times we're programmed by the enemy, the father of lies, to believe these things about ourselves, but they keep us from being who God created us to be. And then just to make all my Pentecostal charismatic happy, there really are demons, everybody. There really are demons. And so I was like, woo, I feel it. Anyways, there really are demonic influences and there are demonic oppressions. There is the work of the enemy. We have an enemy of our soul. And so those are obstacles to freedom. But the real question is this, and this is really what we want to talk about in this series. How can we be free? How can I be who God created me to be? How can we be free? Let me give you three ideas. Write these down. Number one is you have to know that freedom is purchased by Jesus. Freedom is purchased by Jesus. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom, listen to me, freedom is something Jesus does, not something he commands us to do. So there again, my religious people, I love you so much. I was raised in church. This is why freedom was so hard for me. Freedom, the message of freedom is not try harder to be free. The message of freedom is not, hey, do the Christian stuff better than everybody else. That's not how you get to freedom. Freedom is something Jesus does. He has the power. He is the person. He came so we could be conformed to the image of God. He came so we could be free to be who God created us to be. His first sermon that we have in Scripture, it's Luke chapter 4. He's quoting from Isaiah 61. But he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to set us free. So you need to understand, listen to me, you need to understand that freedom is the work of God in the life of the believer. It is not the work of the believer for God. It is the work of God in the life of the believer. Freedom is something God created you for. It's something Jesus died to give you, and it's something Jesus wants to do in and through your life. Freedom is something he does when we allow him to do it. So it's not try harder. It's not perform better. It's not strive more. It's not act more churchy. No, it's let Jesus work in your life. Let Jesus work in the places of your life where maybe he hasn't had an opportunity to work yet. That's what freedom is about. So think about that. Freedom is something that Jesus does. It's something that Jesus has already paid for, and he's not asking you to pay for it. Here's the next big idea then, is that freedom is activated by truth. Look what Jesus says. To the Jews that believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So freedom comes through knowing truth. Now, this is a little bit confusing in our world because we have a lot of conflicting truths. Have y'all noticed that? Everybody has their own truth, which is really asinine when you think about it, because the definition of truth means that truth is absolute. You can't have more than one truth. There is just truth, right? So our culture is very confused about that, but the truth is, by definition, truth is absolute. It is exclusive unto itself. There is just truth. There's not your truth, my truth, their truth, our truth. That's dumb. It's not red fish, blue fish, one fish, two fish. It almost sounds like Dr. Seuss out there on Instagram with everybody and their truth. But no, he said, you will know the truth. You will know the truth. Now, what does he mean by truth? Well, let's think about this. What did Jesus say? What did you say? He said, I am the way, truth. Write this down. This will help you. Freedom becomes attainable when you realize that truth is a person and not a concept. Truth is a person and not a concept. It is absolutely. Jesus is truth. He showed us truth. He gives us the truth about us. He gives us the truth about God. He gives us the truth about creation. He gives us the truth about life. He is truth. And he said, and you will know the truth. Now, we got to talk about that word know. Know. Because most of the time, we think of know as knowledge, right? In fact, know is the root word of knowledge. But Jesus is not saying when you get the right knowledge, you'll be free. He's also not saying if you get the right doctrine, you'll be free. If you get the right belief, you'll be free. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you know, what is that word know? The word in the Greek is gnosko in the Greek. Kind of the parallel concept in the Hebrew would be yada, okay? And the reason we say that, so if you go back to Genesis, so we know that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written in Greek, but around 3rd century BC, Ptolemy from Egypt gives us the commissions the Hebrew Bible into the Greek language, and really it became the popular version at the time of Christ, okay? And so when we look at that, we can look at how they translated Hebrew words into Greek words when we look at the Septuagint. So here in John, he says, you will know, gnosko, the truth. Gnosko, the truth. Well, when we go back to Genesis, there's this, in the very beginning, it says, and Adam knew his wife. Well, that word gets translated gnosko. In the Hebrew, it'd be yada. Okay, Adam knew his wife, and she bore a son. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think when Adam knew his wife's favorite pizza toppings, she bore a son? When Adam knew Eve's favorite color, she bore a son. So it probably wasn't knowledge. When we're talking about know, in this context, that probably wasn't information. Probably wasn't knowledge. Come on, help me out. Don't make me play Marvin Gaye or sing it so y'all get what I'm talking about. But it was truly an encounter. It was truly an experience. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That's what John is writing here. Jesus says, when you encounter truth, you experience freedom. You cannot encounter Jesus and stay bound. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so most people, you do a study on the word gnosko, you're going to find out it is a lot more than intellectual assent or knowledge or understanding. It is encounter, it is experience. And so Jesus isn't saying when you get the right information, you'll be free. No, he's saying when you have an encounter with me, I paid for your freedom. And when you have an encounter with truth, it's not a concept, it's a person, then you will be free. Think about all the miracles he did, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who had the spirit of infirmity and was hunched over, the lepers and the blind, the woman caught in adultery. When you encounter truth, you're made free. Here's the third concept then, is that freedom is empowered by the Spirit. Look at how Paul defines freedom to the Corinthians. Look at how Paul defines it. He says, now the Lord is Spirit. And look at this. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul does not define freedom as the absence of a bondage or a behavior. He defines freedom as the presence of a person. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When I get the Spirit of the Lord in every little recess of my heart, in every little part of my life, can I just ask you a question? Is there a place in your life where you really haven't let God in yet? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just saying you and God don't talk about that. Is there something you've been dealing with that you really hadn't talked to God about yet? Is there something you're struggling with that you really haven't taken to the Lord yet? Maybe it's because you didn't think he cared about that thing, but he cares about everything. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me give you two ideas that correspond with this one. It's empowered by the Spirit. So what does that mean? It means that freedom is experienced through surrender, not through striving. There again, the religious people hear this. Oh, try harder to be free. Oh, try harder to be religious. Oh, try harder to be Baptist or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Pentecostal. Just try harder. Cling to that doctrine. Grab that hymnal. And those are good things, but that's not where freedom comes from. Freedom doesn't come when I try harder. Freedom comes when I surrender more. Freedom does not come through striving. Freedom comes through surrendering to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and saying, God, work in my life, work in this place in my heart, work in this place in my life. God, what do you do with these broken pieces? God, what do you do with these ashes? God, what do you do with this thing that I experienced and that thing that was done and this thing that I walked through? God, Take all the brokenness and do something beautiful with it. Freedom comes not by striving more, but by surrendering more. And secondarily with this, same idea, it comes by the power of the Spirit. Freedom then is experienced by receiving, not by doing. Freedom is surrendering, not striving. It's receiving, not doing. In other words, if you leave this, please, and I hope I've said it so many times, don't leave here today and hear, we got to do more. Got to do more. Got to do more Christian stuff. Got to do more Bible verses. That's good, but that's not freedom. No, the message today is not do more. It's receive more. Look at what John says. There again, John gives a lot of allusions to Genesis and Exodus, but especially in his prologue. But look what he says. But to all who did, everybody say it, receive. Oh man, there is freedom when you find out the Christian life is about receiving and not doing. Listen to me. There is such a freedom that comes when you find the Christian life is about receiving and not doing. For all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, some versions translate that power, the power to become children of God. He gave the power to become children of God. How did they get the power to become children of God? They received. How did Adam get the power to be Adam? The Bible says God formed him of the dust of the ground and then God breathed. What made Adam Adam was not his doing or striving. What made Adam Adam was he received from the Lord what he was designed to contain, which was the presence and the power of God. That's freedom. When I receive from the Lord what I was designed to contain, to house. Listen, God is not coming today to tell you, try harder to be a Christian, work harder to do good things and don't do bad things. He's saying, I'm coming today to say, hey, if you'll receive from me and encounter my son and encounter my truth, the truth will make you free, and whom the son sets free will be free indeed. Amen. Can you give Jesus praise today, everybody? Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged, built up, and strengthened by the Word of God today. I again want to encourage you, go ahead and click subscribe while you're here, and you'll be notified of content as soon as it drops, because we want to encourage you as much as you'll let us. And if you would, comment and share, because we want the people who need the message of Jesus to hear the message of Jesus. And if you're in Longview, Texas, or if you're ever visiting Longview, Texas, we'd love to host you at Pathway Church. So please come see us. Hey, I believe again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is good. And we can't wait to see all that God does through your life.